You guys doing good this afternoon? Good. Well, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel, and I am excited about being here today. I've got a couple little announcements for you before I get going in the message. You can actually, once you've given whatever you need to give, you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and we'll get there in just in a second. We do have a couple of announcements for you. If you are new to Bethel or if you haven't become a friend of ours on Facebook, you can pull out your phone and you can actually become a friend of ours on Facebook, or you can actually, I don't know what they call it on Instagram, like us, befriend us. You know what they call it, Roosevelt, on Instagram? No clue? Yeah, me neither. Follow us on Instagram. There you go. Appreciate it. Also, we're having something called Festival of the Nations coming up on May the 19th. That's a Friday night at 7 p.m. Basically, if you've heard of our nights of worship, or maybe you haven't, night of worship is like an extended time of music and worship, prayer. It's an awesome time. But we're also doing this thing called Festival of the Nations. We're going to have an African drum line. We're going to have a Korean choir. And we're going to have Hispanic worship and so much more. We're also going to have a parade of flags. So if you are from another nation, maybe your parents are from another nation, we want to invite you to be a part of what we're doing. And we want you to help be represented, that representative of that nation. So if you'd like to, you could fill out a connection card, write your name, your number on it, write down the nation that you're from or you are representing, and we'll get in contact with you this week. We've already got about 9 or 10 nations that are represented, and we're hoping to have at least 20, and that's just representation of us here at Bethel. But this event is open to the public. We've let several outlets and newspapers know that it's going on, so we would love for you to invite your friends as well on May the 19th. So we're going to continue with a series of messages that we started last week. Pastor Lance was speaking about our message series called The Promise. Everybody say The Promise. And we are getting this message out of Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And basically Jesus is saying, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And this gift that the Father has promised is called the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I like to do as a pastor, which is kind of weird, I like to peruse what other pastors are speaking about in the Clarksville area. I just like to see what's going on so I can get a kind of a glimpse of what is God speaking to our community. And I found out there's another church, a large church in our area, and they're also talking about the Holy Spirit as well. And I believe that God wants to speak to you today. Somebody say amen to that. I also love what Jesus says in John chapter 14. If you go backwards in your Bible, John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So another helper. Jesus was the helper, and then he said it's advantageous or it's to your advantage. And it sounds a little counterproductive, but Jesus says it's best if I leave the earth so that another helper, a counselor, will come. That's the Holy Spirit. So the Father's in heaven. Jesus was here, and he rose and ascended into heaven after the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit is with us right now. So anybody who believes in Christ, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Jesus said he would send this other helper. And the word in the Greek in John chapter 14, verse 16, is this word called allos, when it says another helper. That means another of the same kind. This word that Jesus chose, it shows similarities but diversities in operation and in the ministries. Jesus' use of this word allos for sending another comforter, he's saying that there is one beside me and in addition to me, but also one that is just like me. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, know that the Holy Spirit is fully God. This is not like God Jr. No, the Holy Spirit is very much so God. In this series, we focus on three things. Last week, the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a He, and we talked about the fact that He is our helper. This week, we're going to be talking about the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And next week, we'll be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, all of you received something that looked like this when you walked through the door. This is 50 things the Holy Spirit does in our life. Did everybody get one of these? No, you didn't? Okay, we need some usher help. Thank you very much, sir. Who didn't get one of these? Okay, a big swath of people. Okay, we'll have the ushers give these out in just a second. I'm giving you this because there are so many things that the Holy Spirit does in our life. It would take months and months and years to go through all of them. So what I've done is given you about 50 things that the Holy Spirit does just to let you know that God's involvement in our life through the Holy Spirit is very detailed. And we're going to get into that a lot today. And that God wants to speak to you today. Pastor Lance talked a little bit about that last week, that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, last week, a friend of ours invited us over their house for a barbecue. Everybody like a barbecue? Mm-hmm. And we went over to their friend's house, our friend's house, and they got a bunch of kids and we got a bunch of kids. They got four kids, we got four kids. So together we got like a whole swarm of kids running around and acting a fool. And one of the things that they have is a big trampoline in the backyard. And so all the kids are getting on this trampoline together. And you know, that's just like a hornet's nest. It's just bodies, limbs flying all over the place. And I noticed that they started to get a little rowdy. We were on the inside looking outside. And my little son, John, who just celebrated his fourth birthday, was one of the ringleaders in all this rowdy stuff going on. He was yelling. He was hitting. He was pushing the big kids around. And so we went out there, and I could hear it as soon as we opened the door, kids screaming, hollering, yelling, acting a fool. And I said, John, what are you doing? Well, my son, he was having a good old time, and he was bouncing, and all of a sudden he heard Daddy's voice, and he stopped, and he stared at me. And it was amazing because in the midst of all these other voices, in the midst of all of this noise and chaos, he could distinguish His Father's voice. Isn't that cool? He could distinguish my voice from anybody else's voice, which is a lot different than how I grew up. Some of you guys know I didn't grow up with my dad. I never heard my father's voice until I was 8 years old. And he called on the phone, and my mom picked it up, and my mom said, your daddy wants to talk to you. I was like, what's a daddy? So I get on the phone, and I hear this voice. And it was unfamiliar to me. It was unrecognizable to me. And the sad thing is that a lot of us are like that in the church. We don't spend time listening to the voice of God. So when God speaks to us, it's not recognizable. A lot of times when we read the Bible, God will speak to you through the Bible. Somebody say amen. But a lot of times we don't hear what He's saying because we don't spend time listening to God's voice. Sometimes God will use a pastor to speak a message that there might be 200 people in the room, but He's got a target on you because it's meant to speak to you, to help you in an area of your life. Sometimes, like Pastor Lance said last week, there's this still, small voice. And God will sometimes speak to us through this still, small voice. But if we're not used to spending time with God, when that still small voice comes, it sounds like our conscience, sounds like a good idea, sounds like some random thought, but it could be really God speaking to you. And I believe today that God wants to speak to you, and I want to ask God today that He would tune your ears to hear Him from today going forward. How many of you would like to hear God speak to you in those different ways? I would too. So we're going to pray that, and we're going to begin this message. Father, thank You so much, God. I pray today that You would speak to us. God, I pray that every distraction, everything that we have thought about before we came here, and everything that is ahead of us after we leave, that vie for our attention and compete with You, God, I pray that they would be forced down so that we can hear your voice today. And I pray, God, that as we study the scriptures and as your spirit moves in this room, you would communicate and you would talk to us in a very real way that would bring you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. God wants you to be able to recognize his voice today and wants you to have a relationship with him. And we're talking today about the relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is just as close as Jesus and his disciples? Think about how Jesus had a relationship with the disciples. Jesus would walk with the disciples. He talked with them. He corrected them. He challenged them. He put them on assignment. And we can have a relationship which is exactly the same through the Holy Spirit. Today, I've really got one big thought or question that you're going to get today. If you've got a piece of paper, I would love for you to write it down. I'm going to give it to you in just a second, but I think it's one of those kind of things that sounds super simple. And a lot of times God will give us something that's super simple, and then the more we think about it, it seems a little bit more complex. And then the more we think about it, this is pretty hard. And I think this is one of those. Just to let you know, next week we're going to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be focusing on 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, and all of that kind of stuff. But today it's very personal. It's very specific, and it's much more private just for you. If you came with a spouse, it's not really for them, it's for you. If you came with your family, this is specifically for you today. So here's the question that I hope that you think about right now, but also in the hours after we meet today and also in the days to come. You ready for it? Say yes. Okay. How actively involved do you want God to be in your life? I want you to think about this. How actively involved do you want God to be in your life? Now, the good church person says, oh, I want God to be in my life all the time and everything. But once you start to think about that, that means that God is going to start touching on some areas that you've previously already made decisions about how you want it to be. And that doesn't feel too good when you have God moving in areas that you've already solidified how you think and how you feel and how it should go. But I believe God is going to challenge some of the ways you think about things today. And I'm sorry about that, but that's just what he does. God wants all of you. God doesn't want Swiss cheese Christians. You know what, Swiss cheese? I like baby Swiss cheese. But it's got all the holes in it. You'd think they'd charge less for it because half of it's missing. But Swiss cheese has these big holes in it, vacancies, voids. And a lot of Christians have areas in our life where God is not a part of. And it's like we voided out strategically placed areas where we don't want God to go because we may not like what we hear if we ask him to be a part of that. Can I just be real with you for a minute? No, I guess not. I'll move on. Well, I'm going to be real anyway. Okay, see, here in Clarksville, we have people that are in certain relationships, and we call that shacking up. And you're like, I didn't know that, Pastor. Okay, this means someone who is not married but living in a relationship like they're married that does not honor God. Now, sometimes people have a hard time inviting God into a relationship like that. And it's because if God was to interject himself into that relationship, it wouldn't make that relationship feel good at all. Matter of fact, you would feel really, really bad if you say, Lord, I know it ain't right, but come on in and have your way in this relationship. It's kind of like before I became a Christian, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I didn't like going to church. I'd get drugged to church by my parents or by my mom, and even as I was an adult, I would go to church, but part of me did not want to be at church. And it's because there were things in my life. The Bible calls it sin. There were sins in my life that I know God didn't like. And when I came to church, it made me feel all uncomfortable on the inside. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, y'all acting like I have no idea. Pastor, what are you talking about? But I would just feel bad. I'd get drunk that weekend. I'd have a girl over here. I would do things that didn't honor God. And when I would walk into the church, it just didn't feel good to be there, even though I knew it was the right place to be. And that's a bad situation when you're in the right place to be, but you feel like you're in the wrong place. Well, I'm telling you today, you're in the right place. You may not feel like it. A matter of fact, there's enough of us in here. Some of you probably feel like you don't want to be here. This is the right place to be at the right time. Somebody say amen. So the question is, how actively involved do you want God to be in your life? And I really thought about this week. And this is an answer that I came up with that I feel like God would want us to have. God, the Holy Spirit, will be involved in our life as much as we ask him to be. I want to get that again. Tyler, did you hear that? God will be involved in your life as much as you ask him to be. So if you don't want God to be in certain areas of your life, your relationship with the Lord stay on the surface. I mean, if you don't want God to come in your relationship, then bless you, but he won't come in. If you don't want God to come into your relationship with your kids, or you know what, you're just happy with that dysfunctional job and you don't ask God to come, he doesn't have a habit of busting in places he's not invited, okay? I don't do that. That would be a crime. If I came over your house, Roosevelt, and I was uninvited, and I just started kicking in doors and here I am, you might call the cops. You might pull a shotgun out. He's like, look, you might be my pastor, but it's 2 a.m, right? That would not be the way God operates. He does not go anywhere where he is not invited. And think about this. God is involved in the details of your life. Me and my brother used to fight about this all the time when he was alive. I would say the devil's in the details. He's like, no, God is in the details. And we would go back and forth. And as I've grown older, I've realized God is very much in the details. Did you know, many of you might know this, that God knew you when you were in your mama's womb, in your mama's belly. Okay, that means he cared. God's better than a sonogram. He knows you even when you're in your mother's belly. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on your head or how many are missing from your head. That means he knows you. He cares about you. He cares about the details of your life. But many of us, we think there's this big theological theory or a big theological group of people called deists. And a deist thinks like this. They believe in God, but they believe that God created the world. Imagine a big globe up here. Everybody kind of look at that big globe. You see that? Oops. Amazing, isn't it? They think that God created the world and just got his big old God hand and just spun it around like a Harlem Globetrotter. And then he let it go, and it just kept on spinning. And God is not involved in the details of our life. These group of people believe that, you know what, it's up to me to make the most of my life, to do the things that I know God probably wants me to do, but he's not actively involved. There's churches that think like this. There's people that think like this. There's Christians that think like this. There's probably people in this room that think like this. But most of us wouldn't agree to that. We would say God cares and God's in stuff, but there's certain areas in my life that God doesn't touch or doesn't care about. And I just know there's people like that in this room. There's certain things that God doesn't care about in my life. And I want to challenge that line of thinking today. If it's in your life, it's important to God. Because he made you. Think about this. I have 4 kids. Everything about their life is important to me. Their clothes are important to me. Why? Because I provided it. Everything about your life is important to God. Now, I'm going to prove to you through the Bible, and I'm going to give you some personal examples or a personal example also about how God cares about the details of your life. The first one's found in Genesis chapter 24. If you could open a Bible, you know it's a good idea to bring a Bible or one of those digital handy-dandy smartphone Bible apps. You can get them for free. We'll also have the verse. We won't have the verses on the screen, so you really do need a Bible. Actually, I'm not even going to read it. I want you to read it later. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Is that okay? All right, Genesis chapter 24, verse 12 through 15. You can read it later. But basically in the Bible, there's this thing called the patriarchs. And you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in this passage of scripture, there's this guy named Isaac. And Isaac is the son of Abraham. At this point, Abraham's well over 100 years old. He's an old guy. He also has a servant named Eliezer. And he's really old too. He's like 90-something years old. And his job in this passage of scripture is to go and find a wife for Isaac. So the father sends the servant to find a wife for the son. So back then they had these arranged marriages. So you can imagine Isaac's chilling on the side. He's a young man. He sees his half senile old 100-year-old servant almost going to look for a wife. And what he does is he begins to ask God to help him find a wife for his master's son. So the verses that I gave you are the prayer where he asks God to interject himself into finding a wife. And what I'm saying by this is that God cares about your relationships. If you're single, God cares about who you marry. And he will come and be involved in that process if you invite him. See, some people don't involve God in the process of finding a mate. I've found out, I've only been in Clarksville for about 7 years, but what I've found out, lots of people like to find people to be in a relationship at the club in Clarksville. Did you know that? You guys are like, really? What is the club, Pastor? Well, y'all know, third service knows what the club is. The first two services was like, that's peculiar. And I'm not saying that you can't find sustainable, life-giving relationships at the club. I doubt it, but you can. And what happens is some people get involved in a relationship at the club and they end up getting married. And a lot of times those relationships begin very rocky because a foundation built on club principles is not very sustainable, is it? But when you interject and you invite God to come into that dysfunction, God can come in and he can heal it, he can restore it, he can make it whole, he can make it holy, he can make himself strong and get glory in that relationship that may not have started off the right way. Somebody say amen. And just to let you know, there's people that get involved in a relationship at church that don't always end up the right way. Just because you find them in church don't mean you don't need God. But no matter what state you found or no matter what type of relationship you've got or where you met them, if you invite God into it, he will show himself strong in it and it will be the best relationship you could ever have. Somebody say amen. All right, the next example is not just God wants to be in the details of your relationship. He wants to be in a lot of details. If you need healing, God wants to be involved in the healing process because he is a healing God. Somebody say amen. Some of you guys may have forgot, but I was walking around in a walker about a month or two ago, right? I don't have a walker right now, right? Okay. Now, I credit all the help I got from physical therapy and doctors and all that kind of stuff too, but I know my God strengthened me. Amen? And there's a man in the Bible in Luke chapter 18 I want to tell you about. This is, if you're taking notes, in Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. I'm going to paraphrase this for you. There was a man who heard that Jesus was coming to town. He was a blind man. He was a poor man. But he heard that Jesus was coming. And so he began to cry out to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stops and sees this man. And I love when Jesus asks questions. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus is not an ignorant man. He's God in the flesh, right? So he can obviously see that the man is blind. But what he's doing is he's prodding this man to invite him into this area of his life. Jesus does that a lot in your life, too. The Holy Spirit prods you sometimes in areas to make you invite God into that area in your life. Sometimes when you go to church and you get touched or you, in an area that you don't want God to deal with, That's God's little red light going off saying, ask me into that area. It's affecting you in a certain way. So this man responds. He says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And what do we find out? Jesus allowed him to see again and healed him of blindness. And so whatever you're going through, the details of your life, invite God into it. And that gives God access to begin to deal with that area. The last area I wanted to talk about is making decisions. How many of you need God in making decisions? Okay, some of you don't. Okay, you're all lying. All of you. All y'all. That's how we say that down here. And all y'all. In Acts, y'all are going to have me talking country. In Acts chapter 15, this is another note you can put in. Acts 15, verse 28 through 29. Something amazing happened that's really relevant to us today is there's something called the Jerusalem Council. And it sounds really boring. It was a meeting that happened in the Bible, but it was very important because what they were doing is there were thousands of new Christians that instantly appeared. They gave their life to Jesus Christ, but they were non-Jewish. They were Gentiles. So everybody in this room that's not a Jew is considered to be a Gentile. And they had thousands of these non-Jews that are showing up on the scene with Jewish leadership at the helm. And so they had to have a meeting because what they were trying to figure out was, should we make these new Christians who are Gentiles follow the law? The 613 commandments of the Old Testament. What should we do? Should we make them like us or should we have some lesser requirement? And they begin to seek God. And in those verses, Acts 15, verse 28 and 29, you see that they invited the Holy Spirit to help them make a decision. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit saw that it was good. Now, I'm just knowing this by the Spirit of God. Every single one of you are going to come across a situation, probably in the not too distant future, where you're going to need wisdom from God to make a decision. Whether in the job, whether in your family, whether at work, whether at school. And this is all you have to do. God, I don't know what to do. Please come into my life. Holy Spirit, give me direction. This happened with me last night. I had, and I'll just, like I said, this is third service, so we're going to be real. I got four kids, told you, right? They were all acting a fool last night at bedtime. See, we like bedtime around 8 o'clock, but sometimes when they act a fool, it's 9:30, and we get upset as parents because we want to go to sleep. Well, last night, one was especially ornery, and wife screaming from upstairs, I'm yelling from downstairs. Our line of attack was not working to get this child to calm down. And I just started inviting God into that situation. Now, the way I do this and the way you might do this is different. This is the way I do. Lord Jesus, help me. That's my prayer. Pastor. Anybody ever pray like that? You don't. I didn't have time for thou gracious and merciful God in heaven who looks down and sees it. No, I was needing some Jesus right then and there. And you know what? I took time out to say that little quick prayer. I said, Jesus, we need you. I don't know what the heck to do. He understands that too. And instantly, this thought of how we need to handle and resolve these buckwild children came to my mind. And it worked. And that was not me. I'm not the greatest dad in the world, but we try to be parents that love God and invite him into our house and to help us parent our kids because we don't know what we're doing. Everybody who's been a parent is the parent for the first time unless you got a neat little grandson, daughter situation. And so we are inviting the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to come and to help us to figure out how to raise these children. All of us need help in making decisions. And all we have to do is invite him into that area. Somebody say amen. And all I'm talking about is this. I think Vince might have mentioned this earlier. He talked about that Jesus is king. And many of us understand what the word king is. You play cards, you know what a king is. But there's another big theological thought that is a lot different. And it's called Lord. Jesus is known as Lord over 700 times in the New Testament alone. And this word Lord doesn't really make sense to us unless you watch a lot of Downton Abbey. Then it kind of makes a lot of sense. But for us who don't watch Downton Abbey, the word Lord means the owner, the boss. In Spanish, it's el jefe. He's the one who calls the shots. He's the one who makes all the choices and decisions that we need to rely on so that our life will be good. And what we do when we invite the Holy Spirit into a certain area of our life, we are inviting Jesus to be the Lord over that area. Does that make sense? And if there's areas where he's not Lord, that means that you are. And I don't know all y'all very well, but I know y'all make a bad Lord. Y'all mess all kinds of stuff up just like I do. But when I invite him to be Lord, it works out. You know, I'm about to close in a second. I don't know if you're going to play something pretty, Pastor Ron. I just have one last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. This is a personal story from my life on how God is in the details and wants to be actively involved in your life. And remember what we said earlier. God will be as in much of your life as you invite him to be. There was a time in my life when me and my wife, Shannon, we've been married for about 9 years. And before we got married, we had some turbulence in our relationship. It was really rocky. And matter of fact, we broke up twice. And she's not here, so I'll tell you all the truth. She dumped me twice. She'd already gone, so I can tell the truth. You remember that, Pastor Ron? He was my lead pastor back then. And she dumped me twice, and the first time it didn't last very long. The second time, it was pretty nasty. A matter of fact, my very best friend in the entire world, his wife knew my wife, and he came to me and he said, "Champ, it's over. Just give up. You're hurting yourself by trying to hold on to it. She ain't coming back." She said, "You ain't the one." And my first thought was, "I don't want to hear all that." And I distanced myself from people. I didn't even go to Pastor Ron very quickly. I just didn't want to be, you know, when you're down, you don't want people that are up. Do you know what I mean? When you're feeling down, your heart's broken, you just down, you don't want to be around super happy people. You don't even want to be around people say, "Praise the Lord, just trust Jesus." It's right, but you don't want to hear that at the time. And I went away from that second breakup. It didn't last days or weeks. It lasted a long time for me. And I was driving down the road one day, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. Nobody else was in the car. And sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks in a still, small voice, like Pastor Lance was talking about last week. Sometimes he speaks through a pastor. Sometimes he speaks when you're reading the Bible. It's like the words just jump off the page. But this time I was just riding in the car, and I was hurting. It's kind of that hurt when you listen to the Temptations. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sunshine, blue skies, please go away. You know, that kind of thing. And as I was driving, I heard the Holy Spirit just say Romans 8:28. And I knew exactly what that was. It's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. It says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." And if one of you, if Pastor Ron or somebody in my life would have said that, I wouldn't have believed it. I didn't want to hear it. But I knew that God was speaking to me. And when you know that God is speaking to you, you can't argue with that. Somehow you just know he's right. And there was this weird peace. There was no evidence that anything, the situation would ever change. But I had this weird peace knowing that God would make it okay. And time passed. And now, of course you guys know the rest of the story. We got 4 kids, so things must be pretty good. And I just told you that story to let you know that if you invite God into areas of your life and you trust him with it, just sit back and watch what God will do. Can you guys stand up for me for a minute?
before you now. In all of who you are, amazed at perfect love, would ever reach this far. Imperfect as I am, yet you chose me still. To live yet die each day, a soldier to your will. With all my heart and soul, with all my mind and strength, I will love you, Lord. I will give you everything. Come on, give him everything. Lord, every breath I breathe, Lord, I give it back to you. There's no place I won't go. And there's nothing I won't do. For you. Committed to the cause. Devoted to the call. I'm surrendered to your plan. I give you my all. Come on, sing this, say, with all my heart and soul, with all my mind and strength, I will love you, Lord. I will give you everything. Lord, every breath I breathe, Lord, I give it back to you. No place I won't go. And there's nothing I won't do. For you.
Well, church, maybe you're in here today and maybe your life kind of looks like Swiss cheese. There's some areas in your life where there's a hole where God should be, where you haven't invited him into that place. For some of you, it's your future. If you're young or old or single or married, there's a place in your life, maybe a hole God wants to fill. Maybe there's an area of your past that's caused pain, unforgiveness. And to be honest, unforgiveness sometimes can be an area we don't invite God because we feel entitled, because it hurts so much. The pain feels so real. I just want to pray for you today. If there's anybody out there that is identified with this, and there's areas in your life you have not invited the Holy Spirit to come in, just raise your hand so we can pray together as a family, as a church. There's hands all over this place. There's no need to be ashamed. We all got stuff, you know. All through our lives look like Swiss cheese. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters. God, I pray for those right now. God, there's been things, maybe unknowingly and maybe unknowingly, we have held back. There's areas in our life right now, God. For many of us, they've caused us pain and torment and bad decision after bad decision. For some of us, it may be an addiction. For some of us, it might just be a sin we can't shake. God, for some of us, it's family problems, marriage problems. It's our past, our childhood, and abuse. God, sometimes it's just decisions that we've got to make, and we don't know what to do. We invite you in that area. Whatever that area is for you, I just ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to come in right now. Say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Come into this area right now. I need you. I make a bad Lord. I need you. Lord, I need you right now. Come into my life. Come into that area. Father, I pray for my friends with their hands up right now. I pray for a download of your presence into their life. God, I pray their eyes would be open to see you, Holy Spirit, like never before. God, I pray that the Lordship of Jesus Christ would find them. That means that every area of their life, it doesn't belong to us anymore. Your word says that we were purchased with a price, that our life is not our own. I believe right now some of you are just giving God your life. You're saying, I made a mess. I don't really know what I'm doing. I've been faking it. I've been trying to do the best I can do, but I really don't know what to do. God's saying, just give it to me. Just hand it over. Right now, just hand it over. Say, Lord, come into my heart. Make me like you. Lord Jesus, be the King of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, help me make decisions. Help my family. Help me be a better mom, a better dad, a better child, a better husband. Come, God, come into my life. Come into my school. Come into my work. Come into Fort Campbell. Come into Austin Peay. Come into my life. Come into my world. Begin to take over and have your way. I give you my problems. I give you my junk. I give you my stuff. Right now, I give it to you, God, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Let's give the Lord a big praise. Come on, church. Let's give him a big praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, third service. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're a good one. You're a good God. We love you. Somebody say amen.